America's first man in space was born 75 years ago this month. Air Force Captain Ivan C. Kincheloe was a test pilot who flew the Bell X-2 rocket plane to the edge of the Earth's atmosphere. But Kincheloe was only 30 when he died on a later mission 45 years ago this week.
You know, he was an all-American boy that's raised on a farm in Michigan.
Dorothy Kincheloe married Ivan in 1955.
When he was 5 years old, when kids were going out on their tricycles and things like that, he wanted to go to the airport. So he was flying when he was 14 and 15. He was just meant to be.
Ivan Kincheloe took his passion for aviation to Purdue University, where he majored in aeronautical engineering and joined the Reserve Officer Training Corps. At an ROTC program in the summer of 1948, Kincheloe met test pilot Chuck Yeager, who had just become the first man to break the sound barrier. Kincheloe wrote to his parents, "I think I have found what I really want to do now." Dolph Overton was in flight school with Kincheloe after the two men graduated from college, Overton from West Point. The two were roommates.
Kincheloe was what we called a birdman. If anything could fly, whether it was a brick or a piece of concrete, Kincheloe could jump on it and fly it. There weren't but about 75 jet airplanes total when we were in cadets, so those cadets that got to fly those few jets were really the best of the class, and he was one of them.
After flight school, Kincheloe had more training on the F-86 fighter and tested the F-86E. Then in 1951, he was off to war in Korea, where he flew fighter escort to bombers, transport, and reconnaissance planes, defending them from Russian-made MiG-15 fighters.
He was the 10th jet ace of the war.
Daniel Walker was Kincheloe's mechanic in Korea. Kincheloe flew all of his missions, including his 9 or 10 kills of Russian MiG airplanes, in Walker's plane.
I took care of the airplane. He flew it. I always remember Christmas of 1951. I had the engine removed from my airplane, and I had it down on sandbags, changing the main fuel control. And here he comes, and it was Christmas, and he brought me a bottle of whiskey. So that's the kind of guy he was, you know. It's funny, during a war, you get so you feel kin to one another, you know what I'm saying? When you strap him in that cockpit, you know, you don't know whether he's coming back or not.
Kincheloe did come back, again and again, until he had flown more than 100 missions and earned a trip back home. At that time, America's flight testing program was in high gear. New designs pushed planes faster, higher, farther. It was advanced research work, and only a few men could handle it. Tom Wolfe called it the right stuff. Kincheloe had it, and ultimately was assigned to the Flight Test Center at Edwards Air Force Base in California. There, the Air Force and Bell Aircraft used the X series of rocket-powered test planes to investigate high-speed flight at high altitudes. Dr. Raymond Puffer is an Air Force Flight Center historian.
When Yeager did his flight, of course, the big thing was, could the airplane hold together as it broke the so-called sound barrier? There was not a corresponding worry about what would happen at a super high altitude. It was simply a question then of seeing, can a human get up that high?
That question was answered on September 7th, 1956, when Ivan Kincheloe took the X-2 up to 126,000 feet, nearly 24 miles, 26,000 feet higher than any man before him.
The sky turns dark indigo blue. You can easily see the curvature of the Earth.
And if he had had any room to move around, which he sure didn't, he would have been weightless.
Yes, he would have been weightless. In fact, he was weightless for something like 56 seconds, but he didn't particularly notice it because he was so tightly strapped in.
And then the rocket fuel runs out. There's only one place to go from there.
Exactly. You're going down the world's fastest elevator, and then it's a case of gliding back more than 100,000 feet to a dead stick landing on the lake bed, at which you get one chance.
The feat was celebrated everywhere. One writer called the young blonde captain the first of the spacemen.
B-50 mothership at Edwards Air Force Base, Muroc, California, takes aboard Captain Ivan Kincheloe for an attempt to establish a new altitude record for manned flight.
Kincheloe did a lot of traveling.
Dorothy Kincheloe.
He was kind of an ambassador of the Air Force. He was so articulate and good-looking that he was like the Steve Canyon of the Air Force.
The old record is 90,000 feet or 17 miles, but that is in the past as the captain went to 126,000 feet, attaining a speed while doing it of 1,900 miles an hour.
Now let's meet our next contestant. Will you come in, please, sir?
Kincheloe took his new celebrity to the TV show I've Got a Secret, longest-running and most popular game shows. A celebrity panel tried to guess Kincheloe's secret, that he had flown higher than any other.
You went up in an airplane carried you, they let you go, and you zoomed, you know, the Bell X, you was faster than the speed and up faster than anybody.
Panelist Bill Cullen did eventually guess Kincheloe's secret. Host Gary Moore then questioned the pilot about the next goal of America's test program.
One final question. On this next plane that you take up, the X-15, is there any chance that you will orbit?
As the X-15 program is today, no. However, this aircraft has considerable potential, and eventually man will orbit in space, and I hope to be on that particular team, yes.
That soon.
Right.
It was the precursor to America's space program. Kincheloe, in his prime, was chosen with two others to fly the next-generation test plane, the X-15. But the plane wasn't ready, so instead the three pilots spent hours testing new spacesuits and cockpit designs in vacuum chambers to simulate weightlessness. Kincheloe did keep flying test missions with other planes. On July 26, 1958, he took off in an F-104 to guide another pilot through a mission. His engine failed soon after takeoff. His last words, Edwards, Mayday, 772, bailing out. Historian Raymond Puffer.
The earlier models of the F-104 had a downward ejection seat, blast the pilot out of the belly. This works just fine if you're at any altitude at all, but 800 feet above the ground, no.
So he tried to roll it.
The only thing you could do basically is roll the aircraft on its back and eject upside down. This he did. Got his parachute open, but then he was right there in the ground, and there was the fireball ahead of him, parachuted into the flames.
That was the first morning, remembers Dorothy Kincheloe, that she didn't get up to eat breakfast with her husband. She was expecting their second child. A few months after Kincheloe's death, America began its new space program. That program put Neil Armstrong on the moon. Armstrong was a close friend of Kincheloe's. The two were both test pilots at Edwards Air Force Base in the 1950s.
I know, had he survived, that he would be very much in the middle of whatever was going on subsequent to that point. He may well have been selected for the astronaut program. He was certainly capable of doing that, or he might have chosen to do something else. But in any case, he would be at the forefront, out at the edge of the frontier, and having a ball doing it.
Kincheloe was buried with full military honors at Arlington National Cemetery. Dolph Overton, Kincheloe's flight school roommate, was one of the pallbearers. Daniel Walker, Kincheloe's mechanic in Korea, did not attend the funeral. Years later, he happened upon the gravesite during a trip to Washington.
We were waiting for the bus, and I looked over, and I saw a tomb. It said Kincheloe on it, and when I walked over, it was his grave. And any kind of homage you can pay to him, he deserves it.
Captain Ivan C. Kincheloe, Jr., Jet A, aeronautical engineer, experimental test pilot, a name to be remembered so long as men reach for the stars.
Photographs, newsreel footage, and other material on Ivan Kincheloe are at npr.org.